WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively at Costas. We are in Dundalk celebrating lots of things, the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, and why we don't green room. For that exact reason, because I have to repeat myself.
Especially
when equipment goes wrong. Johnny O is here. Don Mueller's here, former Baltimore County Executive, current Baltimore County Executive. And, you know, we've discussed green rooming. And, like, Don and I went nose to nose this week about what you have to say to an elected official, John Harbaugh, to give them the questions ahead of time or the topics. So what we've come up with, you said this, this is a sampling.
A sampling of the topics.
That's sampling. Right. Sampling of topics.
Listen, and your PR guys, your communication guys over here, you knew I was going to give you a hard time about Colgate Elementary. So this, I let you have a whole segment where we were nice. We had
Dude,
it here.
I've got it written down. Come on.
Colgate Elementary.
Colgate, Berkshire, and Chadwick.
We haven't done the official openings yet. You will be invited.
I don't read the notes. The county executive is going to cut the ribbon on three brand new elementary school.
Hold on, I got my calendar.
Sometime this fall. They haven't
That's finalized. Not in my calendar. Sometimes.
they're not set yet. They will happen.
All right, give me an update. Seriously, man.
I
wanted to jump you at the door, but I didn't want to be because it's my elementary school.
And we will make sure that you are a VIP at your elementary school. schools are the bedrock of our community. It's why we are committing record funding to them. We're breaking ground on new schools. We are opening new schools. We are renovating schools. We are, with our budget this year, every school will be air conditioned, and so we're very excited about where we're going.
Well, since we jumped in there, I mean, you talked about school construction and county executive. You are, I go back to when County Executive Cabinet started Schools for Our Future. That was a $1.6 billion operation. You now have the what's known as, I guess, the My iPass, the multi-year improvement plan for all schools. That's a 15-year plan. You're looking to invest $2.5 billion, and I think we know the needs are more than that. They're closer to $4 billion. So talk about what I think. What we like to do here sometimes is the four dummies version of government to let people really understand. Talk about trying to, and I understand that this My iPass is going to touch every school. I've been told that it's going to touch every school in the county. So walk us through about how you prioritize and maintain equity in those issues.
Yeah, look, Don, you have laid the groundwork, and this is the budget, thankfully, because we had leaders like Speaker Jones and Senate President Ferguson and even the governor have all recognized that the Built to Learn Act and the state has a role to play. So between local funding and what the state has put forward, we are finally this year finishing that the Schools for Our Future. The funding is now in place for every school that you guys put in motion. So that gets to all the air conditioning, all of the things that we knew that we needed for most of our elementary and middle schools at the time. But we also know that we need a long-term plan. Right. Because we want to make sure that we touch every neighborhood, we touch every school community. So we commissioned this multi-year plan for all schools across the county government. We did it in partnership and at the request of our school board. And it's a 15-year plan that's coming forward that says we're going to spend over $2 billion, $2.5 billion, to make sure that every school is touched, that we have no longer have any more trailers in our county. In that we are balancing three pillars of equity so that everyone is given high quality school facilities, condition of our schools, and capacity. We're trying to address all of those challenges, all of those issues in a way that is also affordable. I mean, the best part of this plan is it's actually funded. And so anything that goes above and beyond what My iPass recommends, it requires even harder conversations, right? We've already made some hard choices in Baltimore County to finish the job under Schools for Our Future, to have funding in place for this, I think, is a pretty ambitious 15-year plan. But people deserve to know where we're going and what it takes to get there. And so, I think that's what people deserve, whether it's the school construction or the operational stuff. And that's why we pushed so hard and supported the blueprint. It's why this year we had the single largest increase in maintenance of effort in Baltimore County's history, $40 million more than we were required to spend. So we're trying to invest both in our classroom, also in the infrastructure. It's going to be so important as we think about recovery and coming back out of COVID. It was hard on all of us, but our kids lost a year and a half of learning in person. And so the virtual stuff was hard for a lot of families. And putting those resources in quality buildings, quality instruction is something we're proud that we're doing here in Baltimore
County. One thing, when I had Governor Hogan on, and I've talked to everybody all month, driving through the state and finding so many places where Wi-Fi didn't work, right? And, and where kids can't learn. That's obviously an impediment. I want to take you guys off the script because both of you were teachers. Bill Ferguson, teacher. I sat almost unwittingly last week with Zeke Cohen on my first Crab Cake Tour stop at the Chaucer Allentown. Teacher, right? Like, invited him out on short notice, had never sat with him, talking about teaching. What is it that you guys could bring to leadership and being politicians, unwittingly in your case, that you understand about this that maybe I only saw it as a student, right? I mean, I was there when you were there. I've been back in high schools very, very, you know, sporadically. My kid was in high school, but I didn't visit much. He went to Perry Hall. I wasn't involved in that way. You guys live there amongst parents, amongst students, trying to educate people. What would your insight be about just how important?
I'll defer to the county executive because he's taught more recently than I have.
Your daughter was teaching last year.
No doubt about it, but he has a daughter in school, so he sees it firsthand. So, and it gets around to all the schools. So I love that question. From a teacher's perspective, give us that perspective.
I want to give two perspectives, actually, and the first one will be quick, and I think you actually had the same perspective. It's the parent test and the parent perspective, right? And it's literally something I'm living now, but it's like, can you walk into any classroom in any school, and as a parent of a child, would you accept those conditions?
I called it my Jennifer and Jeffrey rule, and every teacher that ever worked with me at one of my schools knew when I began a faculty meeting with, we're going to talk about the Jennifer and Jeffrey, they knew exactly what it meant.
That's right.
That all these kids, their moms and dads aren't here every day. I am, and I asked, is this okay for Jennifer and Jeffrey?
That's right.
And if it's not, then it's not okay for anybody.
Well, and that's the same lens that I brought to the classroom, right? So, like, before I became a parent, it was, you know, if I had a child, would I want this for my child?
What did you teach in what years and where?
I was a social studies and special education teacher just down the road here in Dundalk at Patapsco High School, even though I'm a Sparrows Point grad. No Dundalk.
Ho,
yeah. My father's an owl, though. So.
Yes, he is.
I told my wife this morning, I said, honey, you're married to a Hall of Famer. I bet you didn't know that.
I think your dad might be in the Hall of Fame, too. You might be co-Hall of Fame
guys. I think we are. I think we are.
I had to settle for the Point Hall of Fame. So
there it is.
But you know, look, I the thing I will say about teaching, too, is it really... It really sort of was instructive to me about how I approach this work, in that it's about identifying obstacles and then working collaboratively to find solutions. And so, you know, when we have a challenge, it's like, let's bring together the right people, let's work to collaborate, and let's like tell the story to people and help them understand why the challenges are what they are and why some of the solutions are being offered. Now, people might not always like that. I've had my fair share. I've been criticized by people on the left. I've been criticized by people on the right. Depending on the issue. But I think at the end of the day, if people feel like you open yourselves up, you operate with authenticity and transparency, and that you give everyone a fair shake, they walk away, I think, on the whole, feeling like they were treated fairly. That's what I try to do as a teacher. And I've tried to, I think, transfer those skills in as county executive. I don't know if that was your experience.
Oh, no, I think that's a great analysis. And it's interesting, county executive, when we sat with Ron Cassie recently in an interview, and it'll be posted out there at Baltimore Positive, one of the things that he said that he noticed when he spent the day with you was that you truly were engaging with the communities when you met community members, that it wasn't just passing through, but you did try to take it in, and what does it feel like? Mm-hmm. And is that something that's just come natural to you?
I just think it's something that, like, if you're not doing it, you're missing the ball, right? You're missing.
Did being a teacher help you do that? Listen to parents, pissed off parents come in?
I think so, right? Because you have to listen to everybody. Right. You have kids who learn differently. You have kids who come from different life circumstances, so they're bringing different stuff to your classroom.
And that kid's coming back tomorrow. You gotta keep
right.
it cool.
Yeah, I mean,
you're going to teach their child again tomorrow.
You have to have
a
relationship.
Tonight,
yeah,
right?
You have to have a relationship with that child, with that parent, with that family, regardless of how they feel about you, regardless of whatever decisions you made in the classroom. Like, you have to have that. It goes back to that relationship, right? Like, I want people, even who don't like my policies, don't like me, for whatever, like, that's fine. Like, it's politics. No one is going to ever like you 100%. You're not going to have 100% of the people think you're the best thing since sliced bread. But if they can consistently feel like you are fair, you treat them with decency, and that oftentimes requires is that you be the better person, and you have to sort of hold yourself to levels of integrity and just having a little bit of stoic nature that, like, even in tough circumstances, you know, you want to lose your cool. You want to, but you can't because that, I think, ends up spiraling.
It's not part of the job. It's just not allowed.
Well, let's talk about tough circumstances, and we're talking about schools. Anyone who's paid a little bit of attention, and I wish we had been able to work through both of these issues when Kevin was there, when I was there. But the issue of renovate or build new with Towson and Delaney is still there, and it's still on the table. It still poses a challenge. Mm-hmm. I want to get a little bit of an update from you. I know recently school board voted for new construction on those.
Are they the two oldest in the county?
No.
Okay.
No, and that you get into a question of how they rank, but what happens?
Well, I know the difference between new and old. I've been to Dundalk.
Right.
You know, I mean, I walked in there and I said, "What is this place?" You know, but that's why I'm looking forward to Colgate.
But there's an issue, Nestor, and that's why I want to ask the county executive to update us. When, I mean, I worked on that issue for a number of years as well, and one of the things, the discussions that I always had with, and they were very, as you say, amicable discussions. But I would say to the Towson advocates, let's start with Towson first. I always said to them and to the councilman. Councilman Marks, who's still there, I said, look, any discussion of new, from the way I read the statute, means that Towson First has to be delisted from the landmarks. I could not come up with any plan that would allow the county to demolish Towson High School as long as it's on the landmarks list. Is that still an impediment to a new Towson?
It is, and I think, again, you try to anchor yourself in values, and I think everyone working on these issues is committed to giving our kids world-class, top-notch facilities.
Everybody has
regardless
same goal.
Of where they are, right?
Exactly.
So, like, let's all start there. But then, you know, but in Towson, like, that will be a challenge to doing a new school. And so my understanding is that to delist from the historic preservation designation that exists is that actually has to be brought forward by the owner of the building. And so the school system still has to go through that process to equip that. But those are the kinds of questions we'll be asking. The board, in a very split 6-5 vote, brought forward the recommendations, not just for Towson and Delaney, but for all of our schools. And, you know, we are just now starting our process. That includes the planning board will review and hold hearings and put forward their recommendations. We will see what kind of funding the General Assembly is willing to commit this session, and then that will all build into what we ultimately put forward into the spring when we do our budget formulations. But, you know, look, I know that, like, classroom conditions matter. I taught in a trailer that had a hole in the floor the first year. We managed to get a piece of plywood in a couple of months.
See,
in.
Nestor hates these
parents
stories.
Must be really pissed when that.
My second year, we had we went from a piece of plywood over the floor to a piece of metal over, like, a square piece of metal.
It's
over
like
the
Bill
floor.
Ferguson.
This is Patasco.
Snow on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I'm not going to make a joke, but I'm not going to make a joke.
But I'm going to imply a joke.
Yeah, I'm going to, you know, but I'm on the Patapsco side. If you grew up in this parking lot, you go to Patapsco, right? Not Sparrows Point.
North Point Village is the only feeder this part of the boulevard that goes to Sparrows Point. Everybody else.
My son's mother grew up in North Point Village on one of the Saints and went to. She's a Pointer.
Yep. That's
so the point, what I hear you saying, see, is you get it. You're a parent. You were a teacher. You've never lived anywhere else, which is going to get me to my next question. So it's a matter of resources. We're going to spend 2.5. It's spread over 15. We know everybody has the same goal. Now we have to sort of roll our sleeves up with the school system and
have a hard conversation. Because, look, I mean, either we don't do certain projects or we have to find more resources.
Right.
And then the question is, once you find those additional resources, how do you deploy them? And how do you make sure you're doing that equitably? So, you know, it goes back to being deliberative, to being open, to having those conversations. But that's where we are, and that's the next step in the process, is to understand what is the impact of historical designations, what are the actual numbers in terms of, like, what the board's request is now that it's different from what this independent consultant firm, national expert, has recommended. And so, like, we'll just pull folks in and we'll try to work through those issues together, as we always do.
Well, you know, let's shift gears a little bit here in the few.
We're
going
to have to take a break in a minute because we got a crab cape coming out here.
All right. Well, we'll just I think we can do this real quick before we go to the break. This summer you made a tough decision. It's written about in the Baltimore Magazine article. You were going to run for governor. You're going to run for re-election. You would have been a very competitive gubernatorial candidate. For folks who might not have read the article yet, what was the deciding factor to stay in Baltimore County and try to seek a second term?
It's really about a continuation of the work that we're doing. I'm so proud of what we've done in 3 years, but the truth of the matter is our work is unfinished. We're still leading in a pandemic as much as I want this to be over. And to do what it takes to successfully run for governor, you have to unplug from that work entirely. So I would not only be unplugging from the work here, I'd also be doing it at a time when there's historic and unprecedented resources coming in. So really it's about like serving a county that I love, that I committed to, and finishing the job, getting through this pandemic, and then thinking about what a real robust recovery looks like that works for everybody. And it's not just getting back to what always was, but it's like,
there's going to be a new
thing. We can really aspire to something new and more exciting. Yeah. And so, and we're in this unique moment in time where, you know, I'm flattered and grateful for all the people who encouraged me. And it was a hard choice, but at the end of the day, you know, there's work in front of me. I have to do it. And I firmly believe that, you know, if God has that in my plans in the future, the best way to that job or any other is to just keep doing this job as best I can.
I thought that was the most powerful line in the article when Ron Cassie quoted you, because that's right out of my hymnal. I've always thought that the mistake that people make is when they start thinking about the next job while they're still in the current one. Mm-hmm. And I could not agree more that the way you get to the mountaintop is to do what you're doing well.
Yep.
And if you do what you're doing well, people will respect it and reward it, and it will take care of itself.
That's right.
Good place to
positive,
stop.
Man. We're Costas. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're going to have the Restaurant Association Maryland involved. It is Maryland Restaurant Week beginning like today, all next week, leading up to the Ravens game in Detroit. County Executive Johnny O is here 2 months later than we actually scheduled it, but that means... No, it wasn't even your fault. I think it was my fault. Crab Imperial is coming my way. We have some other things.
Get this boy some Crab Imperial, would you? He's got a need for some Crab Imperial.
I want to feel like the king. I want to feel like the king of Baltimore Sports Radio.
There you go.
I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.